Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. It's Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. Don't know my name. I'm here with the great Tim McLeod. You hear him laughing. We've got the first part of our AL East prospects, right, Tim?
Yeah, I think it's the AL. No, actually, it's the NL East, I hope.
Oh, the NL East. That is right. Tim was saying he just finished the notes on the Baltimore Orioles, and I just recorded that. But Tim, we've got 42 minutes, so
yes.
We're going to go 42 minutes, everybody. Going to stop it wherever we get to, and then we'll pick it up maybe tomorrow, Tim. You'd let me know, because Tim's got an appointment he has to get to.
Yes, unfortunately, you sit back and you wait for the phone to ring, and nothing happens, and as soon as I get my good friend Rich Wilson on the phone, it rings.
It's high school. It's high school all over again. The girl finally calls back.
I've only been waiting like 48 years or something.
I know. All right, Timmy, I'm going to turn it over to you, my good friend, and let you have at it.
Yeah, well, looking at the Atlanta Braves, we're going to start this thing alphabetically. It looks a little lean, but as you mentioned in your intro, there's a good reason for that, isn't it? Isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, people are disappointed in my write-up of the Braves because it's not that deep to me. I can't make the players up.
No.
But they've got some talent in there. But the fact is, Spencer Strider, Michael Harris, Vaughn Grissom, three of the best young players in all of Major League Baseball, came up last season. And
wow.
Throwing Ronald Acuna and Ozzie Albies that are not that old either, and that's what you're supposed to do. So it should be lean, Tim.
Well, yeah. You know, you look at what is the veteran core of that Braves lineup, and, you know, Ronald Acuna is 25. Austin Riley is turning 26. Yeah, he's 25, turning 26. William Contreras, 24. Hitting on 25. Ozzie Albies will be 26 shortly. It's other than Marcell Ozuna and Travis d'Arnaud, it's a young lineup. So the Braves have got they got a lot to be happy about.
I forgot William Contreras, who was prospect eligible as we talked this time last year. And
yeah.
That's another great young player. So, you know, I mean, you got to give it up for the Braves. They were penalized, as you remember, Timmy, back in the previous administration. They couldn't draft internationally for years or sign guys internationally for years, and they just made it all work. So kudos to that organization. Kudos to that development team. I mean, you got to give it up for them.
Well, yeah, and when you start looking at the prospects in the system, because of the young age of their team and the fact that they've developed some top-notch prospects, they've got time to build their system for 2 to 3 years down the road, don't they?
They do indeed. And you talk about guys being blocked. You never like to say that, particularly when kids are in low A. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they might not be blocked in 3 years once they are, once they're fully developed and ready to go. And that's probably what a good organization shows. So there's some decent prospects, Timmy. And one guy that we'll talk about at the end that I got beat up on because I didn't include him. And I'll give you my rationale for that. But I'll turn it over to you to get started.
Okay, well, let's start right at the top of the list with a pair of southpaws. And at number one, you've got Jared Schuster. You've got his ETA is 2023. Seeing as how that's the case, let's get a prognostication on innings pitched, strikeouts, ERA, and WHIP.
Now, the one thing that is interesting is you can never have too much pitching, and that's what the Braves do have in their minor league system. So look, he's got a plus slider, doesn't have a great fastball, a very, very good changeup. And the reason I bring up the changeup is kids that come up with good changeups typically have good early success. Doesn't necessarily mean he's going to have long-term success, but you're asking for next season. I think you could see him start 10 to 12 games. I think he'd have a sub 4 ERA. Close to strikeout an inning, I think he would be a usable guy and win some games because he's playing for a very, very good team.
Well, and you look at the Braves rotation, and right now they got Charlie Morton, the ageless wonder at 39 in there, and Mike Soroka, who doesn't really have a solid history of health, does he? So I think there are going to be opportunities for both Schuster and your number two guy, Kyle Muller. There's not much left to prove for Muller, is there? Yeah, look at the minor league numbers, and he's been a consistent producer. He just hasn't really got the most of his limited opportunities in the big leagues thus far. I know you've got Schuster number one, but is there a chance that Muller gets more innings than Schuster in...
Well, he's already had a kick at the can, so I think you have to say that. Yeah, I would not, if you're asking for the number of innings there, I'll go by game started. I think it'd be 12 to 15. It could be even more. He's never been the model of health, so so I think there's that. But look at his spin rate on his fastball, Timmy, 2407. So a lefty with that level of spin rate thrown at 94.5 miles an hour. You know, look, the slider wasn't very good. It's a better slider than that. The X slug was 705, which isn't good. But it's about control for him. And at 6'7", we see it all the time with these young pitchers. You're that tall, trying to get all your legs and arms to kind of coordinate together can be tricky. So, so it could be controller. So I actually think Schuster might be more effective than Muller just because, at least short term, just because he's more polished, there's better control. But I think long term, Kyle Muller could be the better pitcher.
Well, yeah, and again, not all pitchers are successful first go round. Kyle Wright's probably a good example in the Braves rotation, right?
Yeah, that's a great another kid, Tim. We forgot about him. Kyle Wright turned out to be one of the better pitchers in the league last season, number four overall pick a few years ago. And you're right, he was god awful for a couple of years in a row. I mean, just did not look great in the lower minor leagues. Got to the upper minor leagues and could not pitch. Got to the major leagues and, as you know, got blown up. And then he put it all together this year. I don't see either Schuster or Muller having that level of upside, because I think he's a classic number two starter, Kyle Wright is, and I don't see the other two guys having that upside, but you know, time will tell. They're both lefties and Kyle Wright is not. So
yeah, for those that exercise patience, and I guess that's where I'm coming from with Schuster and Muller, it's exercise some patience right now seems to be the right approach.
Look, Tim, I go big on organizations who can develop positional players and or pitchers. And I think in this case, the Braves have proven they can develop both. So I think you got to put a little bit of extra stock in some of these pitchers they've got in their system.
Sounds good to me. At number three, we've got Geraldo Quintero. Yeah, you got to like the power speed combo and the fact that he's climbing the ranks at second base very, very quickly. But don't the Braves have this Ozzie Albies guy who's locked up for the next... however many years. It's got to be a little disappointing if you're in his shoes right now. No,
for sure. But again, you know, you put people in dynasty leagues, in my opinion, because of their talent, not necessarily right. their path. Because I can't imagine, given the contract that Albie signed, that the Braves would ever trade that contract. I mean, it is that contract's one of the most valuable contracts in all of Major League Baseball because he's so cheap and he's so good. But Quintero kind of gives them a guy if Albies gets hurt again. Albies is, you know, he can play second base just fine. Maybe Quintero can go play the outfield somewhere. So one of them might come off the position, but you love this power speed combination. I don't like the fact that he's 5'8", but Jose Altuve has proven that short guys can play well, and so has Cedric Mullins. So,
well, and you look at the strikeout and walk rates, and they both bode well for future success, don't they?
I like Quintero a lot. If you tell me, Timmy, that he becomes a really serviceable fantasy guy, maybe not, you know, an impact, you know, top five second baseman. I've got a ceiling as a top 10 second baseman. I think that could be a really interesting guy. And one I would not back off from adding him in a dynasty league.
Sounds good. Moving forward, at 4, 5, and 6, we have three right-handed pitchers in AJ Smith, Shaver, Roiber Salinas, and Ian Ritchie Jr. They all have flaws, but they're also very young and all have significant upside, don't they?
Yeah, so Smith Shaver, he's big arm, can't find the strike zone. Salinas was one of the big ads in dynasty leagues, and people were adding him because he got off to a remarkable start. 52 strikeouts to 12 walks in the first 23 innings. And it got a little bit harder as he got promoted. Yeah, I've seen the guy pitch. I think it's probably a reliever, but he's got a great arm. And, you know, so people, if you've picked him up in dynasty leagues, boy, I hate kind of holding guys that could be closers, but he could be one. If you want to play that game, that's an interesting take. And Ian Ritchie it's all about projection. So high school pitcher they drafted last July. Mm-hmm. He's a kid that I'd probably stay away from. I would just monitor in dynasty leagues because, man, high school pitchers, taking them and holding them on your roster for 4 or 5 years, boy, that's a tough one. Unless you've got, 40, 50 kind of minor league prospects that you can roster. That's a tough game to play.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yes, I totally agree on that. Moving on to number 7, we have Darius Vines, another right-hand pitcher. You gotta love the control. He's made it to Double A. If you're looking for a 50th pick, does he get your attention at all, Rich? In a draft and hold?
Any 50th player. I took the Williamson, the guy that used to be on Seattle. last year and got traded to the Reds. He was my number 50 pitch and didn't make it up, had a terrible season. You can get a guy like that. I think it's interesting. He could be a back of the rotation. He could be a closer. He doesn't have the big fastball, and that's probably, I don't know if I would draft him in those draft and hold because of that.
Okay, fair enough. Jesse Frankel.
Can we talk about his name real quick?
Yeah, sure.
So whenever I see the word Darius, I think of Darius Rucker, Timmy, who was the lead singer for Hootie and the Blowfish.
That is correct. Country, moved to country and western.
That's what I wanted to know. I think they just call it country. I don't know if they call it country and western. But
I'm showing my age now.
It is remarkable, like the success he had with Hootie and the Blowfish. And he's having, I don't know if he'll ever have, because he was sold like 100 million records. I mean, it was crazy. He's having tremendous success in the country realm. And I listened to him sing. He sounds just like a country artist. It is remarkable what he has done.
Yeah, he's put the twang in Hootie and the Blowfish or something like that.
It's funny. I encourage everybody to go to YouTube, watch a Hootie and the Blowfish video of him singing one of his hits, and then go to him singing a country song. Yeah. And you could tell it's the same guy, but it's remarkable how he's been able to change his talent. And I revel at that to me. It's cool.
So, yeah, it is.
Whether you like his music or not, you still have to be pretty impressed.
I totally agree. Okay, moving on to Jesse Franklin. A great 2021, 24 homers, 19 stolen bases. Unfortunately, was lost in 2022 as he had TJS in May of last year. An interesting prospect.
He is indeed, and maybe a guy that you might want to, if you're in a deeper 25, 30 minor league players, might be a guy that you want to roster because the speed and power is intriguing, and he's fallen off a lot of radars because kids, Timmy, that have Tommy John surgery have a tendency to be dropped. So he might be out there.
Yeah, and I was going to say, if you look at 2021, he was progressing very nicely, wasn't he? And the Braves will have opportunities in that outfield with Marcelo Ozuna and Eddie Rosario relatively short term, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, at number 9, we've got Braden Shimaki. Hope I pronounced that one right.
I believe so.
Yes, we've mentioned him numerous times in the past, but... He just hasn't, the hit tool just hasn't developed, has it?
He's okay. He doesn't really have any loud tools. So it's lack of power, lack of speed, a little bit. I think what did he select? I wrote down select 399. I mean, that's
right.
I mean, that's okay. He's probably limited to probably second base. I don't know if he can, he could, I guess, be a utility guy is where I put his. His ceiling. And I know a lot of people drafted him, Timmy, because he had a great draft season when he came in and was hitting the cover off the ball. But he hasn't developed. So
yeah. Is there any chance if, the Braves, and again, there's a lot of what ifs in this equation, but is there any chance he sees time this year if the Braves decide to go with Vaughn Grissom and don't re-up on Swanson or another shortstop? Grissom doesn't work out. Is there a chance we see him this year?
That's a great call by you. Yes, it is. He's a better defender at short than Grissom. If you've listened to Tim and I talk about it, I've seen Vaughn Grissom play when he's in the minor leagues. I think he's the ideal second baseman to me. He's got a second base. He's got a second baseman arm. Ozzie Albies, unfortunately, has second baseman arm as well. So that's where he'd be the better fit defensively. And replacing Swanson's going to be tough defensively. Yeah. I mean, because Grissom's not that guy. So, if he can't pick it correctly, I don't think Grissom's going to have a problem hitting. But if they feel like they're losing too much defensively, you could see Shimaki come up and kind of spell him or even take some of the role. And he's not going to hurt you offensively. Just I don't know how fantasy relevant he'll be.
Right. Okay, moving on. It's time for us to respect our elders and look at Bryce Elder. He can definitely throw strikes. There's no doubt about that. my prognostication is that he ends up on one of my waiver wire articles at some point in time. What say you, Rich?
Well, I got to say, I mean, he was great at the end of the season, and people mm-hmm. have criticized me. Why isn't he higher? Well, he five games, four of them were against Miami and Washington. So you get the end of the season. Let's face it, Tim, the teams that are out of it aren't playing that hard. And his stuff's just okay, you know.
Yeah.
But he plays for a good team. He's going to get starts. He's a perfect guy to pick off the waiver wire. And maybe as one of your studs gets hurt, goes out with a whatever, you got him for three or four starts, and maybe he pitches okay. So,
No, that sounds like a fair analysis. Your emerging prospect, you have Diego Benitez, a shortstop. Tell us a little bit about your love for Diego Benitez.
Well, I'm not sure it's love, but
lust.
First of all, it was the first big significant signing by the Braves after. Man, it was years that they were in the penalty box there. He's got tools, Timmy. He didn't play all that well in the DSL, so there's a long way to go. If you want somebody that played better, it's Robert Gonzalez coming at number 15. Not as highly thought of, but he played better at the DSL. But I like the tools of Benitez. It's going to come down to how much he hits.
You're looking at him in first-year player drafts, I'm assuming?
Nope, I don't believe so.
No, you're going to okay.
So
no,
if I'm playing in a 12-team league with 25 minor league prospects, I'm going to keep three to four really young guys. That's 36 to 40 guys. Does he fit in there? Maybe, but it's kind of at the lower side of that. So I would probably wait to see if Benitez can actually perform once he gets stateside.
Okay, fair enough. I know you've got somebody you want to discuss who didn't make your list. In addition to that, are there any other players on this list you want to possibly make note of?
I think we have to touch on Owen Murphy. One of the more interesting things that happened on draft night, if you're watching on MLB Network, when his name was called, it was Hamada Hamada. You know, so they were clearly scrambling. The Braves really stepped out on this guy, real athletic kid with a great fastball. He's not a big kid, doesn't really know where the ball is going, was a football quarterback. Many times football quarterbacks don't necessarily translate to great pitchers. But again, the Braves are good at this. If you believe in the Braves system and you believe in athleticism is going to play out, then by all means, Owen Murphy might be a target for you coming up in supplemental drafts. My point is here, and why I put the guy drafted after him in front of him, he's got a long way to go. High school pitchers, Timmy, particularly ones that really haven't focused on pitching, it's a wild ass gamble there.
Well, you know, all you have to do is take a look at your ETA, 2026 plus.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that says it all, doesn't it?
The last guy is Justin Henry Molloy.
Yes.
A lot of people like this guy. Show the ability to hit a .408 on base percentage, 17 home runs. Doesn't have a ton of speed, maybe has to move to first base. It's not a very good defender at all on left field, a little bit of unathleticism, a little bit of brick arms out there, but look, he might be able to hit. So it probably should have been on this list, Timmy, and I just did not include him. So I'm going to make sure Justin, Justyn, Henry Molloy. So a guy that you might want to consider. I probably put him in the 10-ish type of area.
Well, yeah, and again, for him to get at-bats and an opportunity to play, you got to see something happen with Acuna and or Harris and or Ozuna. And, you know, Eddie Rosario's still sitting in the wings as well. So, again, yeah, you're right. He might get opportunities, but at the same point in time, something's got to happen before he does get those opportunities.
Yeah, and it's a guy that I like because it's hit over tools, right? But the tools aren't very loud. There is absolutely no speed. I know he stole five bases, but people can steal bases in the lower minor leagues. I mean, he's a 30-40 runner at best.
Well, how many did Vlad Jr. steal
yeah.
last?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but yeah, I Vlad Jr.'s faster than Malloy, so it's
okay.
So, and he's got average power, so but he can hit, so it could be kind of a 10 home run, 2 stolen base type of 280 hitter. That might be, so it's a borderline guy, but as shallow as their system is, he probably should have been in it. So,
okay, no, fair enough. And on that note, I think it's just about time we turn this over to a commercial.
Sounds great, Tim. We'll be back in 12 seconds.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are back. And the great Tim McLeod is doing a wonderful job here. We're at the 9:27 minute mark. So we've got one more system that we're going to get through and then wrap it up, Tim.
Yeah, and let's do this thing in alphabetical order and take a look at the offensively inept or challenged Miami Marlins. And starting at the top of the list, we have one Eury Pérez, and I know I've shared my thoughts. It's time for you to share yours as far as innings pitched, strikeouts, ERA.
Wow, it's a great question, Tim. First of all, I love Eury Pérez, Timmy. He's everything you want, an ace. If you tell me the answer, if we sit here this time next year, you have to ask me the question again because he didn't pitch at all, I wouldn't be surprised. I am a little worried about his health.
He was shut down, wasn't he, with shoulder fatigue?
Yep. And Timmy, Max Meyer out. This is scary. Jack Eater out.
Yes.
I mean, there's another guy. There's, I think,
Sisto Sanchez hasn't been in for about 3 years or so. Yeah,
Dax Fulton out. So they got four out of the 15 guys, Tammy, are hurt. They're all pitchers, and you throw in Eury Pérez. I mean, that's almost a third of their squad of 15 that has got significant injuries, and so that's what worries me a little bit. I mean, what's going on with the Marlins here and being able to keep their guys healthy? But if he plays, I think Painter will be better. But I think you could see 8 to 10 starts, 3.75 type of ERA, and well over a strikeout an inning. It's going to come down to his control. His control has been very, very good to date. But if his shoulder's a little wonky, Timmy, it could get ugly in a hurry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if it was shoulder or forearm fatigue.
I was going on you, Timmy. You're smarter than me. So
I think it was just generally arm fatigue. But
yeah, did I write down what it was? I don't know. So
arm fatigue and a shoulder issue. Yeah, the combination.
Oh, there it is. So we had it both covered. Yeah. If you're looking for a comp, everybody, in a ceiling, not a comp, a ceiling, it's Sandy Alcantara, who, if I'm not call to me, it was a couple of weeks ago. Didn't he win the Cy Young? So
he's a pretty fair pitcher. Yeah, and a horse.
And it took Sandy Alcantara had injury concerns back when he was with the St. Louis Cardinals, another Cardinal that they moved for I think it was the guy that's on the Braves now, the outfielder that domestic violence, she's Azuna. They moved him for Asuna. Can you imagine? So, it took him a while to develop, get over the injury, and then turn into a Cy Young pitcher. Could that be Eury Pérez? Could be, Timmy. Body types are very similar. Stuff is very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you look at Pérez, if you're a contending team, okay, would you move, and you had Eury Pérez roster, would you move him for pieces right now?
I've had that opportunity to do that because I own him in several dynasty leagues, and I have refused to do it just because I think he has a chance to be special. Now, if somebody wanted Yuri Perez around Tatis Jr. or Ronald Acuna, yeah, a big, big name, and I had to give more up for that, then, yeah, if he was the lead guy there, I would do it, but not for Charlie Morton and a reliever type thing.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. It's got to be a big package.
Okay. No, fair enough.
But having said that, Timmy,
yeah,
I made a huge mistake years ago, and I've recovered because I'm winning money in the league now that I had. I traded Jacob deGrom because I thought I was a little worried about his age, his injury, and Forrest mm-hmm. Whitley was the guy that I built it around, and it didn't go well. so, you know, sometimes moving a pitcher that's young and hot, it's not a bad idea.
Fair enough. At number two, we have Max Meyer.
Disappointing, Timmy.
And now we wait for 2024, correct?
I don't know what to say. He looked great in a couple of outings. I think he's got a chance to be very good. I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
you saw it.
Yeah, exactly. After his second start, just a shame. It really is.
It is, and I'm not sure everybody saw. We talked about him at nauseam. He's not going to pitch this coming season. I wouldn't believe so.
No, I. If anything, August, September, he'll get some light work in. But 2024, I think, has to be the target there.
Yes.
At number three, we have Jacob Berry, one half of the dynamite duo at LSU. There's a pile of questions here that only time will give us the answers, correct?
I say I'm torn here, right? As you were in my mm-hmm. second paragraph. I usually don't write second paragraphs, but I was feeling particularly feisty as I'm writing this because, look, Tim and I have talked about this ad nauseum. The Marlins have the pitching. They don't have any bats, and they have drafted and signed swing and miss guys that have their toolsy, and most of them have not worked out. See Lewis Brinson, who they traded for. And Jacob Berry is the polar opposite. This is a guy that's a hit first guy. Unfortunately, he doesn't have any speed. There's questions about how much power he has, maybe 15 to 20 home runs. So from a fantasy standpoint, to me, he's a bit of a yawn. But he's exactly the kind of player they need. So
real game versus our game.
It really is. So I think you need to – that's why he's ranked high on this list. But I wanted to make sure from a fantasy standpoint, I'm not sure he's going to be sitting at the top of the queue to draft, even though he was taken number six. I'm not sure I would take him number six in a supplemental draft coming up in the spring.
Dylan Cruz has more interest, I'm assuming.
Oh, the kid, he's still in the still at college. Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
he's still at college.
Yeah, he's got a chance to go 1-1 next season. So, next July. So, I mean, but Jacob Berry is a very, very good player. And look, you know, if you want to build your team, and I love building my team around guys that can hit, but when I see a 40 runner at age 22, that means he's going to be a 30 runner at age 25 and Yordan Alvarez at age 27. So just know.
Yeah. Know your parameters.
Exactly.
Especially relating to our game. At number four, we've got Khalil Watson, a shortstop. Yeah, anything but a banner year, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't good. I mean, not only was there injuries, but and I looked and I talked to people. No one knew, but he missed time for disciplinary reasons, and I don't know what they were. So if somebody has that at Rich Wilson P361, send me a citation for that. Perhaps I just missed it. But that's not good, Timmy. You don't want to see
when you're suspended at low A.
No,
that's not the way you want to get started on your career, is it?
No, and then before that, it was hit 231, struck out 36% of the time, barely walked, didn't show a lot of power, which is what he has, And then somebody wrote when I was writing this, it was during the mm-hmm. month of September. They go like, look at the September he's having. It's like, yeah, he had a good last 20 to 30 games of the season. Now is that a trend? Is that means he's starting to put things together? It could be, Tim.
Yeah. Was it motivation kicking in?
Or was he just figuring it in? I mean, figuring it out.
Yeah, and it could have been a combination of both.
Did he grow up? Did the benching him for a couple weeks because of a disciplinary action, did that motivate him and say, gee, I gotta get my shit together, you know, kind of thing? And it could have, Timmy. I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah.
But how many times have we seen guys perform at the end of the season where everybody is tired, and then the next start of the next season, they go back to being the player they are? And here's the deal, Timmy. They're going to move him into high A. This is no child left behind kind of philosophy, right?
Well, look at their offense. Yeah, they're going to move everybody as quickly as they can, aren't they?
He's going to start the year in high A, and it's going to be in a difficult park to offensive park for him. So I don't know. It's tough because he was a well thought of player coming out of the draft in 2021, taken very high in supplemental drafts and in regular startup drafts for Dynasty League, and you got to hold on to him. But there is warning signs flashing here, Tim.
Well, yeah, and if you look at your number five prospect in their system, Jose Salas, that could be another one of those warning signs, couldn't it? They're both shortstops.
Oh, warning sign for him that he might get passed. Yeah, well,
yes,
Salas
exactly.
is already, you know, Salas is probably going to move up to double A. I like him. Does he make my emerging? Was he one? Yeah, he was my biggest mover. So I'm a big fan of Jose Salas. His brother's even better. So his brother's going to get signed by the Padres. Forgot who's going to sign.
Need more depth, right, in their minors.
Yeah, I think. Do you think Eggy Rosario and the other kid get moved at the, you know, at the winter meetings next week? I bet they do.
I think it's entirely possible. Yeah, that, it's not like the Padres don't have a history of moving what they perceive to be top prospects.
Yep.
They've been doing it for years, and I definitely wouldn't rule it out. I think it's a good possibility.
So I like Salas, switch hitter, more pop from the left side. I think he's got a chance at 20 plus home runs, a little bit of speed. It's a nice little player, Tim. Particularly if he gets moved to second base. So,
well, yeah. At number six, we've got a pitcher that I hope people haven't forgotten, because in 2021, in 15 starts, 99 strikeouts and 71 in the third innings, a 1.77 ERA. Let's just hope he picks up where he left off prior to the Tommy John.
Tim, if he comes back and looks pretty good, he'll move right up behind Eury Pérez. I just dropped him because of the Tommy John surgery.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this guy was very, very good from the left side, mid-90s fastball, change-up. He's got all the tools. So if people are a little down on him, Timmy, I'd be moving in.
Good call, Rich. I totally agree. He's one player that is definitely on my radar, and I'll be tracking him very, very closely this year. At number seven, we've got a player that you got to say has been disappointing thus far. I was expecting more from Jordan Groshans. You know, hey, you can't fault the hit tool, but the power just hasn't developed thus far.
I know. He had the great stretch of about 6 weeks, got hurt, and he's become a slapping run guy, right? It's just he can hit, Tim, which, again, going back to the real game, he's exactly the kind of player that the Marlins need. But from a fantasy standpoint, unless he can develop 20 plus home run pop, I don't know, Timmy. It's a bit of a yawn and a pass, and he's a good third baseman, so he'll probably stick at third base.
Well, the opportunity will definitely be there in Miami, won't it?
Yep. So we'll see, Timmy. Guys get stronger. Yeah. Guys learn to put loft in their swing. It's interesting. And Jose Abreu, we'll talk about him on Sunday, just got signed by the – I forgot who signed him.
Houston,
that's right.
Yeah.
For 3 years, which was amazing. And launch angle really went down, which is part of the reason his home run pop stopped. And I bet you the Astros and everybody else who wanted to sign him here, and the Red Sox and the Dodgers, everybody wanted to sign this guy. They all are looking to that launch angle and going, we can fix that. That's really simple. And that's what they think, I'm assuming. So that happens, Timmy. There are analysts and that are looking at this data all the time going, we can fix him by doing this. And I bet you that's what they're thinking with Jordan Groshans.
Well, yeah, and if you're just getting back to Abreu, you know, it's not like the Astros have lived with a huge power first baseman over the past few years in Yuri Gurriel anyways.
That's correct.
You know, so is Abreu, even without being fixed, is still probably an upgrade over what they've had in the past couple of years?
I remember talking with Kevin Goldstein, used to be with the Astros. He believes that if Yuli Gurriel would have come over, if it would have been 15 years earlier and he would have come over when his brother came over, or even earlier, he would have been a Hall of Fame player. He thinks he is that good of a player. And we saw the very tail end of his career. That just That's amazing correct. Hit tool, serious power, speed when he was younger, just a great, great player. And unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to see it. So.
Yeah. Okay, getting back to the Marlins. At number nine, we have Peyton Burdick. You know, the outfield of Miami is crowded, but it's not crowded with really great talent. In 50-man draft and hold formats, would you toss a dart at Peyton Burdick?
Yes.
Fair enough.
I mean, look, there's power and speed, Timmy. And if I get him pick number 38, 42, you pick your number, and he can pop me 12 home runs because I think he's going to get a chance to play. Yeah. Just know he might hit 220.
Yeah, I was going to say there are certainly limitations. At number 10, we've got Dax Fulton, a lefty, another big kid. If nothing else, the Marlins rotation will be intimidating. Was he 6'7"?
Yeah.
Made it to Double A last year, 21 years old.
Blew out his arm. Yeah. Oh, shame. I'm sorry. He blew out his arm, I think, back in 2021, so he's finally coming back. So, the control is not going to be there. It's going to take him some time to come back, but I do like the player.
Yes.
Two more guys, Timmy. Then we're going to break and wrap it up.
Okay. Well, do we want to talk about Sisto Sanchez?
What's one more player then? I mean, I turn to you. I have no idea. I've talked to some people in the Marlins organization, and quite frankly, Timmy, they told me they're not sure. They say that they think he's healthy. They think he's going to be ready for spring training. But they weren't confident. I mean, it's been tough.
Well, yeah, I think I don't have him rostered anywhere. But if I did, I'd probably be looking at walking away at this stage and let somebody else deal with whatever the future may bring.
What I would do is I would hold him through spring training. If you've got supplemental drafts like we have in our, I'd probably hold on to him during the supplemental drafts. I'd see how he's pitching in spring training, but if you got to get your cuts down, he might be one of the last cuts that I would hold on to see. If he's healthy, Timmy, I'd probably hold on to him, but if he's hurting, I'd move on. Totally agree with you.
Okay, last but certainly not least, Jose Girardo is a very intriguing option who really looked good in the DSL, didn't he?
He did indeed. A lot of people. We talked about the guy from Diego's whatever his name was from the Braves. I'd rather have Jose Girardo.
Okay, you know, the strikeout rate was high, but you know, the kid's only 17, right?
Yeah, don't worry about that. Worry about the tools that he was showing. Only 17 years old. There's tons of athleticism. I think there's going to be some power there. I find him a little bit more intriguing. As I talked about, than where we were with the Braves, and their young guy Diego Benitez. So.
Yes, so many Diegos, so little time. And on that note, is there anything else you wish to add as far as the Marlins are concerned?
Let's take a break, and I'll give you my final analysis, and then we will wrap it up, everybody. I like talking about the teams, Timmy. I know this is primarily a fantasy podcast, and that's why people listen to it. But I also like talking about the teams. Look, the Marlins have a great pitching staff. They're starting to add some bats to their organization. I think they're on their way up, Timmy. I think they have a chance to make the playoffs this season. And I like what they're doing overall. They've got to get some health in their pitching staff, particularly in the lower minors. And they got to get some guys that can hit. I wouldn't be surprised from a free agency standpoint that they sign a couple of kids that can hit. The power is going to be there. I mean, look, if you got guys that can hit and then you can hide, Tim just left. You can hide a Peyton Burdick. Tim, you there? Tim? We lost Tim. All right, well, I'll finish up here. And so you can hide a Peyton Burdick when you have guys that can hit. And I think that's what the Marlins need to do. And with that, everyone, have a good week. We will be back tomorrow recording the last three systems. Be well.